Good morning. I see some new faces. If I haven't met you, hello, I'm Pastor Ian. It's good to see you. I'd love to say hello after the service. But if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in John chapter 3 and probably one of the most famous verses that people just know. We're going to be also going before and after, but John 3:16 is going to be one of the main passages this morning. So would you open there? But last week, we talked about God's gift of time and how we steward our time. And we talked about the parable of the bags of gold. And if we remember, there was three servants. One doubled his money, what he was given. One brought back more provisions, but there was that one. And what did he do? He buried it, right? And he did give back what was given to him, but he did not expand upon it. And then he was called a wicked and lazy servant because of it. And we talked about how in our lives, how are we giving our time? What are we doing with our time? How are we acting in the provisions that God has given us? And time is one of those provisions. So what are we doing with our time? And you remember last week, we also talked about taking back 1 hour. So how did we do this week? Work in progress? Taking time? It's a continual thing though, right? It's not one of those things like, oh, I didn't do it today, I guess I'll never do it again. But instead, we talk about giving time back to God. So let's keep doing that, okay? Let's keep doing that this week. If it wasn't 1 hour today, it's 1 hour tomorrow, and let's just keep giving God time back. And the more we give him back, the more we will be in his presence, the more we can be blessed through him, the more we can bless others because we are continually with him and reconnecting with him. Because remember, one thing we talked about last week is that the devil doesn't have to take you away from God. The devil just has to distract you from his presence. And when we are distracted, that's all he needs. You can believe, you can have a relationship with God, but if he can distract you from sharing that love with others, if he can distract you from sharing the love of Christ to the community around you, that's all he's worried about. Because he knows he's lost. And he just wants to stop as many people as possible. But this week, we're going to now move into how Jesus modeled this perfect living. And every moment in his life reflected the mission. All the time that he spent in his life reflected the mission of God. And if we surrender our time and live in the life like Christ did, we can have priorities changed. Our hearts will begin to change. A readiness for what God wants us to do next will start happening the more time we spend with God, the more time we give back to God, because it's a habit, right? We all don't like to admit it, but we have some habits, some good, some not so good. Okay? I'll give an example. One of my bad habits was not going to the gym, not working on myself, not working on what I'm eating, what I'm feeling my body with. And then I realized, I've always known this, but what I realized about a month and a half ago is that I'm doing a disservice to those around me by not being the best version of myself. And now, you know, might not notice that I wear a lot of black because I like to hide myself, the color that hides my figure. But I've lost almost 10 pounds, right? Amen. I feel better. And now if I don't go to the gym on my day, it takes about 2 hours for me to get done with my stuff. If I don't go to the gym, it feels weird. I feel like I'm not doing what I need to be doing. And I beat myself up. My wife doesn't have to tell me. My son doesn't have to tell me. He goes to the gym more than I do. Maybe not for long. But it's a habit that we build. Same thing with giving God our time. What time do you give God? What are you saying about yourself? What is more important? Because we also talked about when we turn on that Netflix episode and we have that auto scroll feature or auto play feature going. And then that one episode is a cliffhanger and you're like, we got to know what happens next. My wife's famous line, just 5 minutes of the next episode, turns into the closing credits. And we're like, just 5 minutes of the next episode. But we can easily go 1, 2, 3 hours scrolling TikTok, watching TV, doing all these things. But how many of us can honestly say we even spend one solid hour with God a day? And if we do that, if we build that habit over a few months, when we don't spend that time with God, we're going to start going, it feels weird. It feels unnatural. It doesn't feel right to not have God in my day. And that's what we're doing. We're flipping the script because the world wants to distract us and we're taking our time back. Amen? So this morning, when we read these, we're going to talk about when Jesus is teaching Nicodemus, okay? And we're going to talk about how when priorities change and through God, everything follows. Christ spent his time living like God. And because of that, God showed his generosity to the world through his son. We've spent the last couple weeks, we're spending this whole month talking about the first letter in our Give 55 and 25. It's give intentionally. Giving intentionally of our time, our resources, our finances, our life to God. And what better way to know how to give to God then look to Christ, who spent every waking moment of his life living for God. But it doesn't stop there. Because what sometimes we, and rightfully so, we look at Jesus, we're like, look at his life, look at his life, look at his life. But God's generosity to send his son to live a holy and perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins, is the epitome of generosity. And we get to look at that today. But first, I want to paint a picture. And would you hand me my water? First, I want to paint a picture for everyone. All right? Let's just picture a dad and a son walking down a boardwalk, down Main Street, whatever you picture in your head, down a Hawaiian beach. Yes. All right? And they get ice cream and they're walking. And the son, let's say he's a young boy, happens to trip, does something, runs into a pole. We all know it happens. We won't admit it. Drops that ice cream. And it's just that everyone felt it, huh? Whatever your favorite ice cream is, whatever that favorite flavor, what just fell on the ground? But what does the father do? This father just walks straight into the ice cream shop, buys his son another ice cream cone, walks outside, gives his son the ice cream. Son just brightens up. He's got an ice cream. And they carry on their day. Did that son deserve anything? Did that dad need to buy another ice cream? Did anything need to happen? But instead, what we see here is just generosity, the gift of love. The dad did not go buy an ice cream and say, better not drop this one. Or he didn't buy the ice cream because he's like, now my son's going to just start crying and whining and it's going to be a horrible drive home. No. He simply bought his son another ice cream because he loved the son. And he wanted to see the joy in his son and the joy in their life through that gift of generosity. So the point is that while it's not deserved, it's given out of love. And that's today, in a small sense, in a very small picture that we can visualize, is what we're going to talk to today. in John 3, verses 13 through 17. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in there this morning, starting in verse 13. It says, No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may enter and have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So today we're gonna just think about God's generosity. Because God's generosity of sending his Son is the foundation of our salvation. And when we understand what is given, when we understand God's mindset, when we understand God's love for us, we begin to live out that same generosity. When we accept Christ and start to learn about him, start to spend time with him, start to live through him, then our life becomes more like him. Have you guys ever heard that term that you are like the five people that you hang out with the most? You tend to become like this small group that you're in. Okay, so if you're hanging out with people that aren't doing the best, with people that are ditching school, with people that are not going to work, with people that are talking badly about others behind their back, when you're around those type of people, no matter what, no matter how hard you try, you start to become that person and that group. May not fully, you may not be the one that's like right into the mix, but there's that whole thing about guilty by association, right? And sometimes your persona becomes those that you're around most. So who do you spend your time with? Who do you spend your time with? Number one, is it God? Are you spending time with God? Because the more you spend time with God, the more you start to act like God. The more we read his word, the more we understand who he is, the more we understand what he is doing for us and what he has done and continues to do in our life. We live for him. We start to emulate that. How's the family life? How's the culture in your household? Do you pray with each other? Do you talk about your day? Do you go your separate ways? Do you help build each other up or do you tear each other down? The people we surround ourselves with are going to be the ones that we most closely emulate. So in this passage, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has come to him, has asked him questions, started to ask him things, because Nicodemus is like, surely you are a teacher. We know that you are because of the things that you know, the things that you speak. And he's been asking him, what is this? What is that? What's going on? They're having this back and forth conversation. All right. And Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council, Sanhedrin. Okay, so he has authority. Jesus has authority. Now Nicodemus is saying, what's going on? How is this happening? We know that you have this authority, but he's digging in. He's trying to figure this out. But Jesus is having this conversation and he lets him know. He dives in right here in verse 13 where it says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven. And right before that, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, if you're asking all these questions, and if you don't believe in what you see here on earth, how are you going to believe in what is happening in heaven? How are you going to believe in what is being seen? And Jesus tells him, no one has seen except the one who came from there, the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, no one has seen except me, so you need to trust what I'm saying. And that's the same for all of us. How many times do we feel that we know what's best? How many times do we walk around and say, this is what Jesus would say, this is what I know, things like that, but do we come from heaven? Have we been there before? Do we know the works of the Father like the Son of the Father who was with the Father in heaven? We can't compete with that. So we have to listen and understand that His word is truth. His word is what is what we need to listen to. So when we talk about God's generosity, we need to look at the Son, because the Son is God's generosity. So the first point this morning is that God's generosity is rooted in His heavenly authority. So in verse 13, so when He's having this conversation with Nicodemus, He's claiming that the only one can speak with full authority about heavenly things is the one who came from heaven, who is the Son of God. So, humanity, us and ourselves, cannot visit heaven except after we die, with a few very small exceptions, okay? We have the saints. When Jesus was risen up, the saints were risen up too and spoke, okay? And then we have Paul when he went to the third heaven and saw this. Okay, there's different variations of how it was. Was it a dream? Was he seeing things? But other than these few very selective incidences, us in generality cannot understand or know what comes from heaven because we've never been there. But Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, understands, knows, and lived His life through that understanding. Does that make sense? When people are kind of saying, how can we live like Christ? You know, it's not, the purpose is we want to try and live like Christ. We want to emulate Christ in our life. But the purpose is not to be Christ. Christ came, Christ lived, Christ was the perfect, holy sacrifice for us. But He died on the cross for us. Because we in our own self will never attain, will never be able to reach what is needed to be reached in order to attain what we have to get to heaven through our own merit. Christ is the bridge. So I do not want to live my life saying I need to live perfectly like Jesus did, because I cannot reach that. Jesus was the one who did that. But I want to emulate my life like Christ. I want to live as closely as I can every day like Christ. And when I fail, which I will, when I do things through the flesh, I want to recoil and go back to my safe place, which is Christ in my life. I want to go back to the Father because of Jesus Christ. So think of it this way. Jesus Christ came and lived this holy and perfect life to give us all a safety bubble to come back to connect. So when we are living our lives, it's not that, okay, I've fallen, I've tripped, I've messed up, I've done something, might as well just live the rest of my life this way because I can't. I'm always going to fail. And people live their mindset that way. But that is taken away from the generosity that God has when He sent His Son. We are not meant to live our life that way. So when you beat yourself up, when you say to yourself, I'm a sinner, I might as well just keep on sinning. No. You might as well keep on trying. If you had, and this is, I'm going to let you know right now, this is like just a very simple, basic connection, okay? But if you had your favorite toy, favorite thing in one of those games at the arcade, the claw ones, right? Notoriously fail. You grabbing one of those toys is very seldom, okay? But if it was your favorite toy, favorite thing, you're like, oh, I just want that so much. If you failed once or twice and you're like, I'm done, I give up. I don't have enough in my pockets. I don't have enough change to get this. I'm just over it. I'm just going to live my life without the toy. What if you had an abundance of quarters? What if you had an abundance of resources that said, doesn't matter how many times you fail. What matters is that you keep trying and you keep going for it. You keep living for it. And it might take you one time, it might take you 1,000 times. But the point is you keep trying. That is what Jesus Christ has given us. The unlimited resource to God to keep trying. Doesn't matter if we fail. What matters is after we fail, are we going to God and saying, sorry for what I've done? Or are we just leaving the situation and be like, I'm done. I can't do it. It's not worth it because I'm always going to fail. God's generosity of sending his son was so we didn't have to live in that. So when we think about God's generosity, we need to think about that, one, it is rooted in the heavenly authority. But we are not meant to live like the experts. We are meant to live through the expert, Jesus Christ. And secondly, as we move on to verse 14 through 15, it's God's generosity was displayed on the cross. God was generous through his son. And it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. So this passage right here is linking back to Numbers 21, when Moses needed to hold up a bronze serpent, staff, okay, the snake, for the Israelites to look up to be forgiven, to be healed. And if they didn't look up to it to be forgiven, they were literally bitten. And they were continually bitten. And Jesus is saying this, he's bringing this, because in the same way, he's letting Nicodemus know he must be lifted up. There was no other way for the cross. There was no other way. Jesus Christ had to die for our sins. Jesus Christ had to be lifted up on that cross. Jesus Christ had to spread his arms for us and pay the penalty of sin. He had to do it because there is no forgiveness or salvation apart from Jesus' sacrifice. So when we talk about generosity, when we talk about us being generous with our time, our finances, our things, our work, with our friends, generosity, when we talk about that generosity, I challenge all of us, because we can never be more generous than God. We can never be more generous than Jesus spreading his arms on that cross for our sins. And we need to live our life in that generosity. We need to live our life through that lens. Just like last week when we talked about the servants, are you burying what God has given you to steward? Because here's a reminder that we all need to hear. What we are given, the life we have, the work we have, the people we run into, the finances we have, everything we have is God's. It is the Lord's. It is not our ownership. I do not own anything that I have. I am meant to be a good steward of what God has given me because of God's generosity. God has been generous to me and my wife in our life. God has been generous enough to give us 2 amazing kids. But I always remind myself of something in my life, and it's hard, and it's hard. But my son and daughter are not mine. They're God's. Those are God's children that God has given me to steward in life. So how am I stewarding my children? Am I lifting and raising them up in Christ? Am I lifting and raising them up in an example of Christ? Or am I burying what I've been given? My wife is not mine. She's God's. And she was given to me to complement me in my life, in our marriage. Be good stewards of our children. Be good stewards of our life. But it was first and foremost because of God's generosity. And so everything that we do as a church, everything that we do as an individual, everything that we do in our life should be based upon that generosity. When we give to God, are we giving and saying, oh, I really don't want to give this. This is about as much as I can give of my time. This is about as much as I can give of my finances. This is about as much as I can give of whatever else. Remember, we talked about Jesus loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. The widow's offering, she gave all that she had, even though it was very minimal in the amount that the world would have seen it as. However, the people that had more gave less because they were just giving the extra of their life, because they had a certain number in their head of how to live and maintain what they had. And they kept that and gave God extra. Versus the woman, understanding the generosity of God, understood that, hey, this is yours anyways. Here is it all. Because you're going to bless me with more. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about that funnel? That it'll always be replenished with God's grace as long as you funnel it out. The moment we cap it, it can only be filled so much. And then we no longer can do anything because we're not giving it out. The more we give, the more we receive. So God was so generous that he gave his son. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So generosity is God. God is generosity. And generosity, when we think about how are we being generous, how are we living our life, how are we doing it, generosity will join God's rescue mission. Always. And the more we are generous with our time, our life, and everything we have, the more we are feeding into the mission of God. Because Jesus Christ showed us the example. He was generous in every way possible. He was generous in everything that he did. Because God's generosity is our example for living. And instead of telling us, hey, do this, we got to see Jesus live a life of generosity. And I don't know about you, I am a visual learner. And I love to see things happen. I love to see what I need to do before me. And Jesus Christ was an example of generosity. He is the example for living. Jesus Christ came to save. Jesus Christ came. So are we being good stewards to advance God's kingdom the same way that Jesus Christ was a good steward of his time and everything he had to advance God's kingdom? How do we live our life? How do we act in our life? How are we being generous? Because the world often trains selfishness. The world often trains collect, keep it to yourself. How are you growing? How do you get to the top? What have you accomplished? That is the world. So anytime you're like, look what I got. Well, I'm glad you got a worldly view of everything. Because God trains generosity that advances his mission. So when people are looking at you like, how in the world are you just giving that up? How in the world do you spend so much time with God? How in the world are you just letting this pass you by? And you're like, my reward is not here. My reward is in heaven with him. That's why we let things go through us. Because our reward is not of the worldly things. My reward is not the nice car or something else, the fancy job to get to the next level of my career. That is not what I live for. I live to be generous with what God has gifted me. And to some, he gives less. To some, he gives more. And it's not our job to look and go, what do they have that I don't? We're not coveting thy neighbor's goods. But how generous are you with what Jesus gave you? How generous are you with the time that God gave you? How generous are you with the people that God put in your life? How generous are you with the community that you were placed in? So just like last week, are we being good stewards to advance what God has given us with our time and everything else? Because Jesus is that example. Jesus came to save, not condemn. And our posture should match that. And if we go to Romans, if in Romans 5:8, it's the anchor of this, that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. We did not need to reach a benchmark. We simply need to trust him, to live for him, to be with him, and share with him. So we are to imitate, not out of obligation, but because God gave. We imitate because he gave. We love because he loved. We serve because he served. We're generous because he was first generous. And we need to live out the example of God by living like Jesus and being generous in our life. So generosity fuels the mission, not our budget, not our life. So when we connect this to Grow 55 and 25, what we're talking about continually, we're talking about our vision as a church to grow 55 and 25. It's not just about the numbers for numbers' sake, okay? It's to open more doors for the gospel, to share Jesus Christ with more people, so that more people can experience the love of Christ and the generosity that God has given through the example of Christ, through our own living. So, are we going to transform our lives through generosity? Are we going to be people that are generous with ourselves, with our life, with what we have? So this week, I want us to choose one way to give our time, our resources, our ability as an act of trust to imitate Christ in our life. That area in your life, I want you to say, just like those old bracelets, if you guys remember them, what would Jesus do? In this situation, what would Jesus do? And how would that generosity share the love of Christ to those around us? Amen? So let's be generous like Christ was. Let's live generosity knowing that God was the most generous by sending his son. And it's our job to be good stewards of that generosity by living like Christ in our own life. Let's pray.